Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with Assemblyman Nelson Araujo. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Warren Hardy, Trey Abney, and Mary Lau. It's all coming up next on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
After the abrupt elimination of solar net metering in 2015, more than 2,000 solar installers were forced to find jobs in other states. Now Assembly Bill 270 can help put Nevadans back to work. Tell your legislator to vote yes on AB 270 today. Visit yeson270.com. Paid for by the Alliance for Solar Choice.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators. From the exotic to the everyday. Trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome for the first time to the program Assemblyman Nelson Araujo. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you very much for having me.
Assemblyman, let me start with the Battleborne Politics forum that you attended last week in Reno with Assemblyman Paul Anderson. And I was struck by the fact that one of the attendees came up and called the Nevada legislature the gold standard in bipartisanship. And both you and Assemblyman Anderson agreed with him. And you know, it seemed like you were genuinely good friends. But on the same day in the Reno Gazette Journal, Assemblyman Jim Wheeler published a op-ed piece that, accused the Democrats of, you know, hyper-partisanship, and that you guys have killed off 58% of the Republican bills that have been submitted. So really, where does this stand? It seems like the truth is somewhere in between the two.
Sure. Well, what I can tell you is that, you know, I hold my friendships with colleagues on both sides of the aisle. I hold them very, very dearly. I appreciate their leadership on many issues. I think that of course, there are always going to be those issues that, you know, we have to agree to disagree on, some of them philosophical, some of them we just can't get there. But for the most part, at the Nevada legislature, we have this fundamental respect for the institution. And at the end of the day, our goal is to do what is best for the state of Nevada and for our constituents. And so we go in every morning with that intent in mind. And that's where Assemblyman Anderson and I took great pride in the comments and the sentiments that were shared to us at the Battleborne event, because we do try to do as much as we can at a bipartisan level to ensure that we are driving the best work forward for Nevadans, and it's not something that we take lightly.
Well, you know, I want to Jim Wheeler's op-ed piece, let me read you something from it and have you comment on bipartisanship. He was talking about Democrats, and he said, this is from the same group of people who think abortion should be passed out in school cafeterias right next to the Obama administration-inspired vegetable garden. How does that help at all with bipartisanship from a person who's complaining that there's not enough bipartisanship?
Yeah, and that's a great question, and it takes me back to my original point that there are some issues that, you know, we have to just agree to disagree on. You know, that's one example where I would disagree on that issue. However, I think Assemblyman Wheeler would also acknowledge that there are many instances in which we can come together and focus on the policies that we can agree on and that drive Nevada forward. So you're never going to have 100% consensus across the aisle. I hear that, and what I will say is that in that one instance, I would disagree with Assemblyman Wheeler. However, I think there are many instances where we have agreed and we have voted to ensure that what we agree on passes and gets signed by the governor.
Okay, but one of the big things that creates this partisanship furor is the education savings accounts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was reportedly the governor is upset because the Democrats don't want the ESAs in the budget. What do you think about bipartisanship about allowing the ESAs into the budget? I know it's not in your house, mm-hmm. but, you know, you have an opinion on this, I'm sure.
Well, two things. I have a personal opinion on vouchers themselves, and then there is that conversation around when it's appropriate for us to have that dialogue around ESA specifically at the legislature. You are correct in that it is currently in the Senate, so I would argue that it is a little premature. 28 days is a long time at the legislature, and we haven't reached that point where we in the Assembly can have that conversation because there are a few factors that haven't kicked in. One, it hasn't passed out of the Senate. Two, we don't know what it's going to look like when it passes out of the Senate. And three, in order for us to have a strong discussion regarding such measure, it has to be in our House, and we have to have that reality in front of us.
I realize that, but if the ESA was in your House in its present form, mm-hmm. do you think in the spirit of bipartisanship it would pass? And if it doesn't pass, are you concerned that the governor is going to blow up the budget by vetoing the budget without an ESA in it?
And that's a fair question. That's a good question. I don't know that I can speak to how everyone is going to vote when that decision comes. That's part of the discussions that need to take place. I can tell you personally that I don't support vouchers, and that has been something that I have been very firm in my stance on. However, I can't speak to the other, colleagues that also have a say in what decision will come through. And I also can't speak to what ultimate decisions the governor will make as a result of the decision that the legislature makes, which again takes me back to we haven't had those conversations yet. And until we have those conversations, it's really too early for us to comment on what direction or path that conversation may take us.
So at this point in time, what is the most important piece of legislation you're fighting for?
Oh, gosh, we have so many. We have clean energy policies that we are very excited about this session. We have seen a lot of criminal justice reform measures.
Let's take it one at a time. So on clean energy, mm-hmm. What do you think is going to be the end result of this legislation here?
So I think I would argue that this is going to be the session for clean energy, and this session will make us the model state when it comes to clean energy itself in the nation. I think we are going to see some monumental bills passed.
Do you think the 80% portfolio standard is going to actually be reached, or is there going to be a compromise on that?
Yeah, I think those discussions are really near. I think we're going to have a vote on that very soon. And what I can tell you is that the end result will help consumers, and that has been our end goal. And at the legislature.
In what way?
Because we're going to make progress, and we're going to have an increase in RPS standards, and that's something that we take great pride in. What that ultimate number will look like, I can't comment on that. That's for Assemblyman Brooks to share, being the sponsor. However, I do feel strongly that we will come out of this session with a strong clean energy package that will help restore faith in from Nevadans in our capacity to be able to deliver on clean energy, and it will ultimately make our state that much better for it and our environment.
If you look down the road 5 years from now, do you think that NV Energy is still going to be the provider of last resort?
I'm not sure that I can answer that question. I think a lot of things have to play themselves out. You know, what I will say is that NV Energy has been a part of these conversations, and to their credit, all partners have come together to have these conversations. And I would argue that NV Energy has been an advocate when it comes to these clean energy conversations. I think the ultimate question for us is what that final package looks like, and what all partners can agree on and can accept as the new future direction for the state of Nevada. But, you know, they have been at the table, and they have been, you know, forthcoming with their with their suggestions, and also with their feedback on how we can create stronger policy that ultimately helps us all.
All right, let's take a break. More with Assemblyman Nelson Araujo when we come back.
Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblyman Nelson Araujo.
You know, I was struck by your medical marijuana bill. It seems like it would make significant changes in Nevada's current medical marijuana law and streamline it. Number one, it would the medical marijuana cards would last 2 years instead of one, and it would remove fees required to apply for or renew your medical marijuana license. That's like $100 annually. And it stops the tracking of medical marijuana patient purchases, which I think goes back to privacy. Mm-hmm. Can you expand on the bill and where does it stand? And do you think this will get through the final push and be signed into law?
Thank you for that question, Ray. And we have been working very hard on this policy. And what I will tell you is that my goal when introducing this bill was very simple in nature. It was simply to preserve the medical marijuana program. When we first started having marijuana discussions, specifically around recreational marijuana, my one top concern was that I feared that the medical marijuana program would not be able to survive given the expansion of access to marijuana. So we put this bill forward. One other key element that wasn't mentioned in the overview is that essentially we would also be transferring the medical marijuana program from the Department of Public and Behavioral Health to the Department of Taxation, which takes us back to the need for a more streamlined process where we can have one department looking at both programs, making sure that both are successful. And I feel very strongly that this bill has strong potential and that it ultimately will prevail this session. I think it is the best move for the sake of the survival of the program. And I think that once we get this measure passed, we will see a lot more support and a lot more eagerness to participate in a program that is fair, that is adequate, that protects patients, and that incentivizes the use of medical marijuana for patients.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. The tracking of medical marijuana patient purchases, that seemed like it's really nobody's business except the person who's buying the marijuana. Do you feel now that the tracking could be exposed to people's, what they're taking? Just like if you're taking a prescription for a pain medication, now that's private, but if you take medical marijuana for pain, that seems to be open to the public.
Right, and we got about 30 seconds here.
And you got it perfectly. At the center of that conversation is patients' privacy, and we need to do all that we can to ensure that that data is protected. I realize why it was initially requested and why we put that forward, because we were in our inception stage. However, now we've matured more, and we know the trajectory of the state of Nevada, and we feel comfortable that some of those requirements that were previously put in place are no longer necessary.
And that's where we have to leave it. Assemblyman, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. And we'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada is a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner Addiction Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Warren Hardy is here, principal with the Hardy Consulting Group. Trey Abney is director of government relations with the Chamber. And Mary Lau, president and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada. Okay, Trey, let's start with you. We're at this point in the session, less than a month to go. Where is it heading?
Well, I mean, we're heading somewhere fast. I'm not sure where that is yet, but budgets are starting to be closed. That's why you're having a lot of joint committees. You're having Senate Finance meet at night. You're having Saturday meetings. So that is moving forward. And really the big issue right now is ESAs, right? Last week, the governor kind of issued an ultimatum to legislative leadership and basically said, you're going to have ESAs and you're going to have hearings on it and you're going to pass it, or all your stuff is going to start to be vetoed, right? Now, not that there's a lot to veto. They haven't sent a lot of bills over yet. But that's the key. They haven't held one hearing on it. And so really the question, certainly from the business community, the chamber hasn't taken position on ESAs, but the question is what are the Democrats going to demand from the governor in order for them to pass that along? I think it's going to be a means tested thing. In his original budget, he didn't include enough money to cover every, all ESAs. So I think you end up with a means tested thing, but our only concern is what are the Democrats going to demand for that? So that's the issue.
Okay, and Mary, how much power do the Democrats really have in this particular session?
All the governor has the power. it's actually, you cannot have an override on a veto at this point in time. They don't have a veto-proof majority, which is two-thirds of the houses, and so right now the governor holds all the cards. And it's going to be very difficult to go back, and tell your your constituents that you are against them having choice where their kids can go to school. You can have all the ideology in the world, but the mailers are already out there. You know, Democrats don't trust parents to know what's good for their kids and stuff like that. So it's a hot issue. It's going to be interesting, and I don't know how big of a bargaining chip it is, but like Trey said, it's a bargaining chip.
The governor, there's no way he wants this to go beyond the end of the session.
No, and there's no. I don't believe, based on my years of experience, there's anything that's going to take us beyond the regular session. You know, the governor, we've always known the governor is one, you know, a very, very smart man. He's also proven this session that he's very smart politically. There's really nothing in that budget that the Democrats can object to. And he's given them nothing. There's nothing to trade. The ESA is a budgetary item, and the governor controls all the cards there. And so he's been very smart politically with regard to how he's proceeded. I think there was a perception that ESAs maybe weren't that important to him. I think that's inaccurate. I think he sees that as a legacy issue, and I think he's dead serious about what he says, and he holds all the cards.
You know, Trey, I wanted to ask you this. In the Nevada Independent reporting, it seemed that the governor became angry with this non-hearings of the ESAs and not moving at all on the ESAs. Is this a new side to Governor Sandoval, the angry governor? I haven't seen that before. It's been more the pragmatic man.
No, I don't think so. And it's all a game, right, between back and forth. And the legislature has to play their game, and the governor has to play his. I don't know if anger is the right word. He's just saying, look, you guys have a lot of stuff left to do and not many days left to do it. I've hardly signed any bills. It's almost set a record for the least number of bills at this point in session. And again, some of his big priorities, including ESAs, have not even been heard. And so he's telling them, look, guys, you know, it's the time for press conferences and blueprints and everything else is over. It's time to start passing policy and get out of here.
Okay. Well, Mary, do you have confidence in Aaron, Senator Aaron Ford, the Senate Majority Leader, that he can close this session on time?
Well, I think both leaders can close this session on time, but I think I agree with Trey. The governor was expressing frustration more than anger and showing leadership, but there's enough people in the hallways that can help the leaders to make sure that this session does close on time. I think things will move very quickly. Some things are going to fall by the wayside. It's a typical session. We're not that far behind. There's not that much stuff left. It's unusual to not have the hearings done on the governor's issues. So that one means it's going to be kind of a dog and pony show very quickly with rushed testimony. But in all fairness, it's new leadership, first time out. The governor's experience, this is his last session. So there's a frustration level, but it all comes out in the wash at the end if people just stay balanced, stay focused, and do their jobs.
Barn, you want to add to that?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think the good news is that Senator Ford and Assemblyman Frierson are both very smart, talented people as well. They know what they've got to do to get this shut down, and the governor is a bipartisan governor who works with everybody. They recognize that, and I agree with Mary. I don't think it's that unusual for a session in which the Democrats control the legislature and the Republicans control the mansion. So I see it as a pretty routine session in that regard.
Okay, we've got about 20 seconds left, just around the table. Are we going to see any increase in property taxes or changes to the property tax bill?
You won't see anything immediate. You've got a constitutional amendment that's moving forward, but that's a long process, as you know.
You agree?
Yep. Same story.
Agreed.
All right, and that's where we got to leave it. Thank you all very much, and you're heading off to the legislature. We'll see you. We'll be right back.
After the abrupt elimination of SolarNet metering in 2015, more than 2,000 solar installers were forced to find jobs in other states. Now Assembly Bill 270 can help put Nevadans back to work. Tell your legislator to vote yes on AB 270 today. Visit yeson270.com. Paid for by the Alliance for Solar Choice.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Business Workers Comp Company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
On our next broadcast, Assemblyman Steve Yeager and Assemblywoman Olivia Diaz. We'll see you then.